probably take me a little, you know, 10, 15 minutes to find it on one of the nets that we did. But it's yeah, that was a problem. They hit like at a 90. So you know, one was probably equatorial orbit, the other one was a polar orbit, I believe. But, yeah, and then when Russia sent a rocket up there, were testing. They wanted to see if they could hit their own satellite out of space. They did that, and it created debris. But it's not like the movie Gravity, where we just like fly all over the place and you know start heading up, you know, to the space station or you know geosynchronous orbit. Or you know, it stayed in the exact orbit. Let's call it 180 miles high. I know it wasn't too high. Below the space station. Space station is 250. But when they hit that, you know, they did it on purpose just to see if they could blow up their satellite. But that's what they did. I believe China did the same thing a while back. But the debris, they showed a path of it. It's still in orbit, but it's narrow. It's like a narrow orbit, still going around, and it's spread out. You know, hundreds of miles, without maybe thousands of miles, but it stayed in this weird narrow. It's not spreading out; it's just staying in that 170-mile orbit until it eventually deorbits. As time goes on, you know, you have rarefied air there, but you know, enough molecules to slow things down. You don't want too many of that. SpaceX, they're supposed to be designing their satellites to keep away from one another. So, we'll see. I know the astronomers are not happy about this, John, either. Anyway, we'll turn back to you, and then after that, looking at the time, I guess we'll close down. This is WS2N.
Again, appreciate all the information and opinions and things you add to the net here. Yeah, that reminds me of a few weeks ago, there's another TechNet I listened to called the Absolute TechNet. That's on Tuesday night. I can get more details if anybody wants it. But they have a topic every now and then, and one of their topics a while back was astronomy and photography. Is that astrophotography? Anyway, and they were talking a lot about exactly what you're saying about the amount of junk getting in the way of their visual path. They'll be trying to look at something, and they get a sudden bright flash back in their telescope from an Iridium satellite or a you know, the Elon Musk internet satellite, whatever it's called again. Sorry, drawing a blank. But yeah, real interesting stuff. And yeah, the more things that are up there, the more that's going to impact the astronomers as well. Real cool. Very good. And yeah, thanks for everything you do here. Look forward to hearing it next week. And thanks to Roy as well for running the net. I got a couple of nets piled up on top of each other right now, so I'm going to run as well. 73 for now, and all the best.
Very good. Thanks for checking in, you know, a lot of these weeks. Very good. John, we'll probably catch you next week. KC2SHO, WS2N. Have a good evening. And Roy, I'm going to turn it over to you. Well, good night and a good night. AC2GS, WS2N, for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, AC2GS, thank you, Paul. Thank you for all that you do with the SpaceNet report, all that you do here with the technical net, all that you do with the club. We all appreciate it, and I especially appreciate it. By the way, the rotational period of Milky Way is about 212 million years, and the Trichodecaphobia is rampant all through Europe and North America. It's thought to go back to Christianity's origin. Asians don't really care about the number 13, but they're really upset if you use the number 4, you know, on them.
Really? That's interesting. That's right, yeah. Milky Way is a quarter of a billion years. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. One of the Carl Sagan books, they talked about how many times that thing has rotated since its existence. Wow. Very good. If that's only going a quarter of a billion, well, and the other one's 250,000 years. That's a big difference. It's like one-tenth of a revolution or something, I guess. Anyway, back to you, Ryan.
Yeah, it's a blink of the proverbial eye. I'm reminded of a line from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where Ford, whatever his name is, tells the other guy, space is huge. It's very, 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 very big. And those are words to live by. The universe is really large. It kind of dwarfs the imagination. We can't even perceive of the volume that is the observable universe. Anyway, we can table that for some future technical net. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break these technical nets, and I'm glad that the Plan B seems to have worked out reasonably well. Just have to get used to slightly different conditions. But seems to be a plan, thanks to Lou NY2H, who made it possible, who gave me some information that allowed me to do this. And thanks to everyone. Please come back next Sunday when we'll try and do this all over again. As always, before we leave, our revels now are done. Before we leave, like to throw a few lines, dictate to our RIW, would say, please be kind to each other, and that's always good advice. And good old Epictetus said it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So please try and keep your mind open to new ideas, and don't close them tightly. It's good to have a healthy degree of skepticism, but just to kind of shut down and not accept any new information, there's no growth that way. So, everyone, have a great week. Stay safe, be well, enjoy the summer, and please join me next Sunday night when we do it all over again. This is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limark Technical Net, and Slava Ukraine. I am clear.
Seven-3, good job as usual, Roy. And Paul WB2BXL.
Have a good night, Frank. WS21 clear.